I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Well, paint me turquoise and dip me in the ocean till I disappear from view. Not only am I here, but so are you. We're back!
Wow.
That was the Cryptid Factors version of Roses are red, violets are blue.
Turquoise. I wasn't expecting turquoise given... Listener, Rhys wrote that just as the theme tune was playing, as it was playing.
I literally had however long that was, and I was halfway. I was halfway through it, and that's why I was thinking, wow, now where can this go? And then the theme tune ran out, so that was it. But also, I had that there, and
oh, wow.
I'm just putting it up to the screen.
That's good.
And I said, I disappear from view, and then I put two legends, which I was, because I was going to bring you guys into it, but then I just ran out of time, unfortunately. So I just wanted to show that you were going to be part of it.
Hang on. What? If there's two legends, what's the third one of us?
Well, I'm the guy that got dipped in the ocean.
Oh, right.
So it was another one of those ones where the two dweebs come across the old tree.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah. That's where we left off. I think that was our last adventure.
But then the time ran out, and then I realized I'm just going to have to rhyme something with view.
Should we just sit here just quietly amongst ourselves while you keep writing about the two legends? Because I'm quite keen to see what I do.
Look, if we get another break, or once you start talking a little bit later on in the show buttons, I'll probably start writing. I'll underline the two legends and see what comes from that.
Yeah, thank you. That'd be great. Wow, man, it has been quite a while. There's been quite a lot happening. Once again, as soon as we try and get more regular, all of a sudden somehow months go by. Yeah. But there is, to be fair to everybody, there's been a lot going on. Dan, you've had a baby and a book. You gave birth to both babies and books.
Yeah, I'm a dad for a third time. So he's 3 weeks old as of this Saturday. He's called Kit. Yeah, I'm knackered.
That is so cool.
So
what's it like third time round? Because second time round, you know kind of what you're doing. And then third time round, are you now just ignoring it?
There is a bit where you're just like, I can't be bothered doing that whole thing again. You do get lazier as you. So the poor kid is, it's like, he's literally going, can someone change my nappy, guys, please?
Yeah,
seriously.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's, you do get lazier. It still is tiring. I'm knackered all the time.
Even more tiring, I'd imagine, because as you get older.
But also, you're still navigating having kids, because, I've never had a five-year-old before, but that's what Wilf is now. So I'm still learning what a five-year-old is.
Yeah.
Ted is fine, because he's 2.5. I've done that. But you've got this bookend of ages where you're... Yeah.
You do.
So, yeah, but it's very exciting. It's very cool to have him in the world.
Yeah.
And also a book as well. It's that don't skip past that. I mean, babies are important, but so also are books.
And, of course, I've got the book with me here today, folks, just so everyone knows. I have a copy, my own copy, of The Theory of Everything Else.
Thanks, man. I'm so excited that you got a copy.
Oh, it's brilliant. I had to search for it.
I don't have a copy.
So, look, I purchased this. Like, it wasn't sent to me. I looked in various book shops. I couldn't find it. So then I went to the one in Matakana. It's a great bookstore, and they always have a great selection of interesting, unique, and bizarre kind of books. And so, boom, there it was. It was in the table of new reads.
That's very cool. Cryptid Factor gets a mention on the back there in the in my credits, and both you guys get mentions in the acknowledgements. A little shout out to you both.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Well, I got a little bit of a sneak preview because as it happened in between the last podcast and this one, whilst Dan was racing to the finish line to finish his book, I managed to pop over to the UK, and the two of us made a little excursion up to none other than Loch Ness.
Yeah,
it was like quite a moment. But the best part of the trip was Dan working on his book, and whilst we're driving along, I had him reading me chapters, and I was thinking, I have the author doing the audiobook. And I'm like, this is the only way I want to listen to my audiobooks from here on in, where I can ask the author, oh, can you just stop there, mate? I've just got to check the navigation.
Well, that was the thing. It was a bit of an annoying audiobook because the listener kept correcting things as I was reading it. I wouldn't do that. I'd change that bit.
That's also the best way of listening to a book, is by being able to comment and disagree.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually a service I want to now offer authors around the world. Like, you know, if you're about to publish a book, that I'll just come and take them for a drive to a cryptid hotspot whilst they read the book to me, and I can just give them some pointers and tips.
Yeah.
And then the best part about that also with the Buttons book read is that if you do get bored of the book when the guy's doing it to you, you can actually go, you know, when you're driving along, actually, that's enough, mate. Thank you. thank you. Let's turn the radio on, eh?
Should we listen to a Cryptid Factor episode? This is how you should do it. I mean, what you've done is good, but let's just get some inspiration for you here.
The Stephen King is sitting next to you going, hey, what are you talking about? What do you mean that's enough? There's a haunted house and there's a weird blob coming through the ceiling. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Do you know that Stephen King fact about when, back in the 80s, he used to consume all of his books while driving? So audiobook was his thing. But obviously they were on cassette back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And not every book was available in his local area on cassette. So if he found a book that he really badly wanted to read but couldn't get it on audio cassette, what he'd do is would take one of his three kids, put them in a room with an audio recorder, and make them read out the entire book. And then he would listen to them having done the audiobook for him.
Amazing.
For some reason, I just imagined him locking them in a dark room with just a candle and a cassette recorder and go, you're not coming out until you finish the book.
Yeah. He's apparently afraid of the dark. Apparently, he needs a sidelight on when he's sleeping.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Apparently. He said that in an interview once, and I haven't seen it again since.
Oh, so that's not actually in here? It's not one of your ones?
That's not in the book?
No, that's not one of mine. No. I mean, it's one of mine. That's for the sequel.
Is that a fact or a Dan fact?
It's a Dan fact, I think. Something really cool, though, about doing the book is that, and I say this in the book, is that it sort of makes me a bit of a magnet now for people noticing the weird things happening in their life that they might have brushed over or forgotten about. So I have this thing where I talk about the idea of a soft rock, which is an impossible thing that happened in your life, which definitely happened, and you swear on your life it happened, but according to what you believe, it's impossible. Like, you may not believe in ghosts, but you might have had a ghost encounter, and you're like, I definitely saw a ghost, yet I don't believe in them. The guy who did my audiobook, he said he was in the pub saying to his friends, hey, there's this idea of a soft rock that Dan's come up with. And they were like, oh, we've got a soft rock. And he was like, yeah, what is it? And they said, we were driving down a country road in England one night, and we both swear to God, we're in the car, we saw this, a potato on legs ran across the road in front of us. He went, what?
Oh, my God.
And he said, we swear to God, it happened. Two of us saw it independently as we were going along. A potato ran across the road.
That's a plot for Toy Story, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's a total Toy Story scenario.
Yeah. And then this new guy who I'm working with, who's just been reading the book, he said this was just as Halloween was going. we were talking about seances when we first met, and he decided on Halloween to have a seance. He doesn't believe in any of this stuff, so it was going to be fun. They made the seance at home using like a board and burnt ash that they'd done. And he said that he was doing it, and he got really into it, and it was approaching 12 o'clock. And he found himself, as he was spelling out words from, he thought he had called his grandfather back from the grave, who was sending a message. And as he was typing out the message, he was rocking back and forth. And then he said, out of nowhere, his nose just bled, just went, bruh. He never gets nosebleeds, he says. Yeah, and the party ended. Everyone freaked out. He said that just that was the moment. Everyone was like, okay, let's put this away. Time to go home.
Granddad punched him in the nose. He's like, that's all serve you.
Yeah. Hey, that's my rocking chair, you prick.
Get off it. I've told you not to whip back that far.
Yeah.
Seances are one of those things where I think it's like it is almost a step too far. That and the Ouija board is the other one where I feel like it's all fun and games until someone loses a life.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's kind of like, it's just a little bit too close to what I like to call the over freak zone, where you've gone too far and now you're actually literally scared that, you know, shit could happen.
Yeah, that's such a good point. We're kind of like fishermen.
Yeah.
We stand on the edge of the freak zone.
Yeah.
And we dip our rods in and we pull out some stories. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't go swimming in there.
No, don't fall in. I mean,
no, I think I accidentally fell in. I went full freak.
Buttons has fallen in a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like Obelix. I don't need any seance or any Ouija board.
No, you're like water skiing on it. You're not fully immersed, but you're like, whoa, he's getting close. it was a you're right, it was Ouija board. That's what he did, not the seance. Right, he did a Ouija.
That's what I thought it might be,
Well, see, I thought the same as you, Reese, that I'd never do a Ouija board or a seance because you're messing with stuff you shouldn't mess with.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want a haunting your whole life. But of late, I'm like, well, actually, now that I'm a lot longer in the tooth, it's like, actually, now's probably the time to start.
It'd be fun to experience it. See, I see what you're saying, but I'm going to disagree with the age thing there. I don't think we're quite ready yet. We've still got a lot of life to live. We don't want to start getting haunted by some terrible poltergeist at the age of, mid-40s.
Well, true. I was thinking, though, that if you were unlucky enough to have a horrible condition or disease or something like that, and you knew you only had so many months left.
Yeah.
If that happened to me, it would be tragic, but I think I'd just go hard out. I'd want to find a doctor that would flatline me. I'd want to do all the Ouija boards and seances 100%. And tarot cards. And
What's the flatlining?
Oh, that's where they you die and they can bring you back.
Oh.
You know, okay. So your heartbeat goes, and then they can just like, so there's a moment there, can be up to like 2 minutes or something, where you can experience, you go through the tunnel and you see the light and you can, you know, there's the guy at the pearly gates. Are you coming in? Are you, mate? I said, I'm not sure. I'm actually doing a flatlining experiment. So I just want to have a look through the bars at this stage, but we'll come on through. The door's open. No, I'm not. Can I just check? Because I think my guy's going to bring me back in a minute. How far can I go in? And then also, once you're through. All right, well, can I just have a quick look? Oh, gee. Oh, there's Granddad. Oh, fucking hell. What the hell? Elvis! Oh, no, gotta go!
See you in a few months!
Yeah. See you in a couple of weeks! And you come back, how was it? This is what I expected, so I'm not actually that looking forward to it now. It's Elvis, Granddad, the huge.
I've never been a big Elvis fan.
Yeah, no aliens, no hidden pyramids or underground tunnel systems. Not that I saw, no. But I mean, the guy at the gate was just some guy from East End London. What, mate, you coming in, mate? Get in there, mate.
Actually, my daughter Helena sent me an article, just see if I can find it, but actually that they're starting to do some serious research about the whole flatlining.
Right. Finally, some serious research. In the past, I've been joking around with it. Guys, let's have a meet. Look, I think we should seriously look at this, okay? We've had a good laugh for the last 20 years. That sketch that Reese did earlier was brilliant, but look, that's the end of it. I think from now on, there's good light to be made of it, but honestly, let's just put our serious faces on and work out what's going to happen when we get to those pearly gates.
Well, it's true, though, isn't it? Because it's kind of like, we don't take this stuff seriously, but at some point we've got to.
Well, we do, but we can't because it's the ultimate unknown. But when it comes to seriousness, it's rather than that phrase, it's the more modern science abilities that we have now.
Yeah.
We've got the thought processes and the technology to maybe actually try and solve it, you know, way more than we did in the 1700s or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, well, in here I've just found this article. It's actually from neuroscience.news.com.
Uh-huh.
And this is NYU Langone University. They say 1 in 5 people who receive CPR report lucid experiences of death while they are seemingly unconscious and on the brink of death.
Mm.
The lucid experiences appear to be different from hallucinations, dreams, illusions, and delusions. Researchers found during these experiences, the brain has heightened activity and markers for lucidity, suggesting the human sense of self may not completely stop around the time of death.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's very
interesting. So taking it serious.
Yeah. I promise I won't do this of going, I have a thing in my book a lot. But
every cryptid factor now from here on in is going to be like,
this is slowly the audiobook.
the theory of everything else.
That's the
available
one.
Now in all good bookstores.
And even the crappy little ones.
Reese, go to the Nostradamus chapter.
Okay.
It's got the finest length footnote, I think, of any book ever. Which is the story that I want to tell you guys right now.
Wow, this is the footnote to end all footnotes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, that whole page is a footnote.
Are you going for another Guinness Book World Record?
Yeah.
Biggest footnote.
What this is that it's Gary Busey, the actor Gary Busey.
Yep.
He flatlined in 1988 after he had been motorbiking. He flipped over and cracked his head. Brought him into hospital. He's flatlined at the hospital while they're doing emergency surgery to save him, and they managed to do it. He comes back. When he wakes up, he says that he remembers a moment, and it was in, he says, when he flatlined, that he went to heaven and he met the angels. He said he was the size of a thin tube. That was his core skeleton that went up to heaven.
Wow.
He saw balls of light, and he was given the choice of staying in heaven or coming back down. And they said, you've got more work, Gary Busey, to do to reach your destiny on planet Earth. You must go back down. So wow. Gary Busey came back down. So the story that's in the book is that years later, he's making a movie called Quigley, which is about a man who dies and comes back to Earth reincarnated as a talking dog. And so there's a scene where Gary Busey makes it to heaven. So he gets to the set to film the scene. And when he gets there, he's furious because it looks nothing like heaven. And he's seen heaven. So he says, what the hell's going on? This isn't, heaven looks nothing like this. They don't have couches like that in heaven. There's no mirrors on the wall in heaven. So the set designer is freaking out because he hasn't been to heaven. And so he's like, well, I don't know. I was just running on ideas. The director's going, calm down. We'll try and fix some things. And then another guy on set, who's one of the angels, who's in the background, suddenly, who's an actor, one of the angels, says, I also died and went to heaven. I've seen heaven too. And so Gary's like, see, you know it's not like this. And he goes, yeah, yeah. But the problem is that this guy has a very different idea of what heaven looks like to Gary Busey.
Really? Oh, he's got a different heaven.
And they end up disagreeing so badly that they get in a massive argument and eventually a fist fight over what heaven actually looks like. And production is shut down for the day and they have to stop filming. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. And also just goes to show that, you know, your heaven isn't necessarily my heaven. And we'll probably go to our own version of what we think it is. I just hope that my heaven's the same as your guys' heaven, so we all end up together. I don't want you in a heaven down the road, Buttons, going, oh, mine was slightly different.
This is, well, I have a theory on this, but I'm too scared to go there because that will mean that we have to do a button time theory. Can we do a theory without the theory?
No, we have to do the end tune.
Oh, God.
Here it is.
Down in the garden beside the little pond sits a little dainty boy with a special bond. He likes to watch the pixies travelling through the trees. They sprinkle all the magic dust. He says, yes, please. It's Buttons fairy time, Buttons fairy time, Buttons fairy time. Come join in. Buttons fairy time, Buttons. Buttons fairy time. Everybody hold your hands and have a big grin.
It's a real divider, that sting. It's like, I don't know whether or not I love it or hate
people it. It's the most loved thing about this show. What are you talking about?
It's just got a touch of evil to it. That's what freaks people out. But I think it's what people also like about it.
Anyway, the theory is really quite simple, that all of us really only have the capacity to have a certain amount of very close friends, right? It's like, although you can be loved by millions of people like Reese.
Please, please, guys. Okay, actually, let me just check the book. At the moment, it's 6 billion.
6 billion, right, okay.
Which isn't the population of the Earth. That's 2 billion short of the actual Earth population. So
you've still got some work to do. But after the second series of Flag Means Death, I mean, surely it's going to, you'll clock it.
I'm hoping.
But since we only have this capacity to actually get really close enough to a certain amount of people, if you think about it almost like a squad of gamers playing an online game together.
Yep.
And there's only so many characters within that game that can also be there. So the theory is really that if there are past lives and if we are being reincarnated all the time.
Do you say re-uncarnated?
No, reincarnated. Or reincarnated.
That's when you get, so you're reincarnated and they go, it's not working for you, buddy. We're going to reincarnate you there.
You're doing the same as what you did last life, mate. I mean, come on. You're out. You're gone.
And basically, we're all the same people that are coming back.
Yeah, the same group.
Yeah.
But the great thing about that is that potentially, you know, when they say, you know, you go up.
Go up in your small tube.
Yeah, you're basically, whoever dies first, they just have to hang around longer in the gamers' lounge, right, waiting for all the other, and they can still keep watching people playing and go, oh, you idiot, you don't even know. You know, like they can fly around in the game and then somebody comes and crouches down on them and teabags them. And
yeah.
What game is that?
What's the teabagging bit? What's the teabagging bit? What game is that?
You know,
some
when you play those
weird sex game.
Oh, you know, the shoot 'em up games, like the, what is the name of the games?
Call of Duty, where they kill you and then they walk over, drop their pants and put their balls on your face. Right,
like that. That's effectively what I reckon you can do in the afterlife.
I don't think that's a thing, buddy. I don't think that's in the game.
I think it could be. And then you reset and then you're all reborn back into the thing. And then whoever was your husband in this life might be your baby in the next, but whoever dies first just has to sit up there and wait and kind of patiently kind of go, okay, come on. Then everybody comes back up and they all have a good yarn about, oh, so funny you did that. Right, this time I'm going to be the baby. No, I want to be the baby.
Nice.
I want to be the rich celebrity in his own massive mansion with his own TV shows. And no, that's you were that last time, Reese. Stop.
Can I ask a question about the logic of this?
No.
This is where you pull it apart.
I think I'm going to quibble it.
Oh, you've been quibbled, mate.
I'm sorry.
You've been quibbled.
There he comes.
I think I've got to quibble.
Oh, no.
If you're born as the baby,
you've
still got to live your life, right? And your life then turns into your own different group of friends and then maybe a partner that you marry and then having kids and your own. Like, you extend beyond that first group of friends. So what happens to everyone else that's in that further generation? Are they not part of the simulation?
Well, good quibble. Very good quibble. No, see, this is the thing. If you sort of start and stop at different timelines, like if there were multiple games going on the game server and you get killed and you go, I'm not going to wait around for you guys. I'm just going to go jump into another game.
Yeah, respawn into another game.
You go start playing that game. Respawn, and then as other people kind of get kicked out, like, I'm not waiting as well, I'm going to go jump in with that one as well, where Dan is, because it looks like he's having a good time. And then at some point, you all sort of jump back, okay, everybody's dead now, you know, and just jump backwards and forwards out of different ones.
Okay.
I mean, what I do like about that is, you know, you're kind of using simulation theory, I guess, as a base for this imagining. And I think, the fact that we do create games and technologies that are based on reality and that we can spawn into things, and the way that video games have turned into this massive thing that is so believable, it's like we look at our own life and go, oh my God, is our own life a video game? And that's kind of where we're at right now, you know, with the simulation theory, that it does. It certainly checks out to that degree, that if we do check out, that we can sort of like stay in this purgatory area and then get decisions as to whether to you know, stick with the same group of people and try again. Or if you had a if you had a shit life, go, you know what, I'm gonna roll the dice and go somewhere else if that's cool with you.
That's cool.
But so I like that idea.
But did we talk about this? I feel like I had this theory shot down previously where it was like, I was gonna say, it's like you feel like you know people, like when you meet people.
Yeah, it was our,
for the first time.
It was our last episode.
Oh, right. So long ago. It's like, have I said this one before?
We were talking about the idea that what if you bring your enemies and your friends into the next life with you, kind of like Blackadder. So it's sort of like a regenerated
season two, season three. It's the same. It's the same actors. They're just different characters.
That's the best way to explain that theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weirdly, the best way to explain it as well is, it's like our podcast where we just talk about the same theory the next episode as if we haven't spoken about it.
We just polish it up and put a different title on it. But it's the same old shit.
Yeah.
All right, let's move into everyone's favorite category. Category? I don't normally call it that. But
no. Section? What do we call it?
But, you know, we are doing the same shit, but just calling things slightly differently this week.
The slightly differently episode.
Same, but slightly different. So it's time for everyone's favorite category.
Worldly Weekly News. Weirdly.
Worldly Weekly News.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy. Freaky, watch out.
Okay, well, there's only been 6 months or whatever it is of news. What have you guys got?
There's a whole bunch of bizarre stuff out there. Not as much as there normally is, I've noticed, but I want to kick things off with my headline, and this is just relevant for anyone who's watching sports right now or about to. God knows when this one's going to come out, so the whole competition could be over. But Psychic Ferret predicts how England will do in the first World Cup match.
Here we go.
I love these when these come out because they always choose a weird animal to predict the scores of World Cup. And I think I remember this happening 4 years ago. It might have been an octopus last time.
It was.
This time we've got a ferret.
It was an octopus. And I think after it made some majorly correct predictions, I think they then at the end went, well, that was good, and then ate it. It didn't have any kind of like further study.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're done. Let's cook it.
That's why I don't eat calamari anymore. Or octopus.
The intelligence thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was because you don't want to accidentally end up being able to fortune tell. Oh my God, I can predict things. I accidentally had some calamari last night, guys.
Well, maybe that's the reason why I should start eating calamari. Try and get these magical powers. Certainly rather that than ferret, anyway. Yeah. So, okay.
I got a headline here from the Indie, which is a British newspaper. Death pool discovered at the bottom of the sea, which kills everything instantly.
Oh my God, that is ominous.
Did you say cesspool?
Death pool.
Death pool.
Death pool. Yeah.
When you first said it, I did think of Ryan Reynolds.
So did I. That's why I thought, surely.
Deadpool discovered at the bottom
Deadpool.
Of the
Deathpool sounds better, though.
It does. Oh, wow. Okay. That sounds exciting. My news is to do with Queen Elizabeth's funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Which was only a little while ago. I think it's still within the realms of relevancy.
We're still mourning.
Of course.
Yeah. The headline is, viewers spooked after creepy moment caught during live coverage of Queen Elizabeth's funeral.
Ooh. Oh, yes, I know this one.
Cool. I don't know this.
So it's pretty terrifying.
Great.
It's kind of funny.
It's funny, but it's terrifying at the same time.
Well, let's kick off with the fun one with this ferret.
Okay.
So this comes from themetro.co.uk. It's a really cute picture of the ferret here. Look at him.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. His name's Kenny.
Kenny the ferret.
And he's from Hartlepool.
Hartlepool.
I've never heard of that place. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Is there anything like the death pool? No. How did they know that this ferret is psychic? And why choose this ferret?
Well, these are great questions that won't necessarily be answered. But let me tell you about this. This mystic animal, okay, he has predicted that England will not get off to a good start.
Oh. Well, then why did they choose this ferret? Why didn't they find a different ferret that got a better prediction?
Well, let's just deep dive into this article and stop questioning. So they won't get off to a good start, according to this ferret. England with their first game, which is against Iran on Monday. I like this because we can figure out what actually has happened, see if it's come true next time we chat. So he indicated his pick by choosing between three food bowls labelled win, lose or draw. Although at first he contemplated the win bowl, so he must have like looked at these three bowls and started to head towards win. He eventually changed his mind and plumped for lose.
That must have been a VAR overturn as he was heading to the win.
Can you see the picture there?
Yeah,
he's hoeing in to the lose.
Very scientifically done, isn't it? There's three bowls, listeners. One with win written on a sign in front of it. Another bowl in the middle says lose. And then there's one. And they've done it in such a way that I would have thought the draw might have been in the middle.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense.
But they've put win on the left, lose second on the right, and then draw over onto the far right, and he's gone for lose.
Well, it doesn't necessarily look like an entirely controlled scientific experiment. They're doing it on a dirty old concrete floor with green corrugated iron in the background that looks like it's some kind of detention center. Mm. You can't even really see what food's in there. You don't know. The other two bowls might be filled with broccoli and the middle one may be filled with yummy, yummy peanut butter.
No. That's not how you do it. It's done very professionally. The same food in every bowl.
Well, who knows? It could be one of the other teams are putting it out there. It's the internet, right? You could say it's from England fans, but it might actually be from German fans, and they're kind of going, let's get into them psychologically. They're going to lose.
And that would make sense because German sentences are structured different to ours. So you can see by the draw being at the end that that's a German sentence instead of putting it in the middle.
See?
I think this could have a very good point to it. I don't think there can be science about it, though. This is a psychic ferret.
Exactly.
And the event hasn't happened yet.
Exactly.
So,
not yet. We can't put science against it. But one day, science will answer all of these things like near-death experiences.
But if it's a psychic ferret, knowing the gig, I think even if there was like broccoli in one bowl and sweeties in the other, if the one that said lose had the broccoli and it's like, I don't like broccoli, I don't think it would just ruin its credentials just to have a bit of chocolate in the other bowl.
That's a good point.
It'd be like, suck it up for this one meal.
That's a good point.
I've got to show them what's going to happen.
Suck up the broccoli.
So farmhand Maddie Cooper thinks Kenny is the ferret for the job, saying he's definitely going to be right. He knows what he's doing. He's just a very friendly ferret. He'll give everyone he finds a kiss. Aw, isn't that cute?
That's so lovely, but what has that got to do with being psychic?
Well, there was a line earlier which sort of addressed his credentials. Here it is. Although staff have not provided specific credentials for Kenny's powers of foresight, they insist he knows what he's doing. So
he knows what he's doing.
When it comes to going towards a bowl that's got food in it, he knows what he's doing.
And the other thing that I found interesting is like another resident of the farm, Otsi the Lamb, previously successfully called a win for Hartlepool United in their playoff final. So where is that lamb? Where's Otsi the Lamb? Why isn't Otsi the Lamb?
This is a psychic animals farm. There's a small mammal for every decision. And then just a little bit here, it talks about the incredible record of Paul the Octopus, who became a breakout star in the 2010 World Cup in South Africa after correctly predicting the winner of Germany's seven matches.
Wow, all seven matches it got correct.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Where's Paul now?
Maybe Paul was the one that got eaten that I was talking about. I'm not sure. Oh, I'll quickly Google it.
And what about Otsi the Lamb? What's the bet? They just get sold off to evil dictators or used in military warfare situations.
The octopi?
Any of them. All of them.
Oh, right.
Kenny's giving kisses now, but very shortly he's going to be recruited by the FBI and be used as an agent.
Yeah.
As long as he's put in a room where there's food bowls and there's three decisions to make. Okay, Kenny, you're in there. Do you either steal the information, that's the bowl on the left, do you ignore the information, or on the right, the last bowl is do you seduce one of the other animals in there, but for no apparent reason? Way you go, 00 ferret. Damn it, he's gone for the middle bowl.
Oh, goddammit. He's eating the evidence.
Paul died of natural causes, so he wasn't eaten.
Oh, good to know. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. He died of natural causes, salt and pepper. Both of them natural Himalayan salt is what got him in the end.
But look at this, the 2010 FIFA World Cup finals. So he had a record of 12 correct predictions out of 14. So his success rate was 85.7%.
Wow.
His career as an oracle, it says, began during the UEFA Euro 2008 tournament. So he already had one tournament under his belt before he got to the 2010s. And then someone tried to buy him, I guess, after the World Cup.
The FBI.
There was a transfer fee of €30,000, and he was going to be the main attraction at a local festival, but he passed away in his tank. He was aged 2.5, which is the normal lifespan of the species.
The other thing is anybody talked about the fact that Kenny the ferret could be reincarnated Paul the octopus? Just come back. He's come back and he needs to predict the founder. It's like hunting the Dalai Lama. It's like every 4 years they go find the animal that can do the predictions for the World Cup. And then somebody goes hunting. They found him. It's a parrot.
That's so funny.
Oh, well, yeah, you're going to have to, Dan, we'll get some Patreon. How much shall we say? $100.
Oh, someone's lost contact.
Oh, has somebody lost contact?
Is it me?
Who's lost contact?
You guys are frozen on me.
What?
Oh, he has. He's lost contact. Look at him.
How did he predict that, though, before he just lost contact?
He predicted it. He's still.
How did he know his internet was going to cut out?
He's the next Kenny.
He's the next Kenny. You just.
Does he like kisses?
You literally just predicted your internet was going to drop out before it dropped out.
Who?
You did.
You. He went, oh, someone's lost contact, and we were like, who? And then you cut out. It's incredible.
You ate Paul, didn't you? You had the calamari. You had Paul the calamari.
This is the big clincher on my news article. I am Kenny the ferret.
It is. Look at us. You two look so similar.
Look, I'll do the face of the ferret.
That's exactly it. You are, and you love kisses. And you're incredibly cute.
Yeah.
And you like eating your food off a dirty concrete floor out of a bowl. It is you.
All right, let's not go too far. Let's just move on now to the next article. I predict it's going to be yours, Buttons.
Right. Well, again, the headline, viewers spooked after creepy moment caught during live coverage of Queen Elizabeth's funeral. So obviously, for those that don't know yet, Queen Elizabeth died a couple of months ago.
What?
Sorry.
Do you think any listener has gone, what?
Oh, what? Well, there are people out there probably that only listen to the Cryptid Factor and no other news sources. Weekly World Weird News.
That's true. Do you remember I told you that when Prince Philip died, I walked to Buckingham Palace to see all the floral tributes?
That's right.
And I stood at the gate and it was really nice because I remember when Diana died, watching that on TV as a kid, and I thought, oh, imagine being at Buckingham Palace. So I got to do that with Philip. And I was standing there and a guy walked up next to me and he looked down at the floral stuff and he just turned to me and went, sorry, has something happened to Prince Philip? And I went,
no.
You're telling me that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Incredible. So it does happen.
And you did a live broadcast there for us. And I love that you did a live Cryptid Factor from Buckingham Palace for Prince Philip, but not for the Queen.
No,
she's not worth it.
He was very busy sorting his book out and his young
baby. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, she died and
has reincarnated as my son Kit, which is very exciting.
The exact time.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. His Kit started waving in the back of his hand.
Yes.
There'll be some telltale signs. Yeah. Keep an eye for them. Anyway, UK broadcaster ITV was doing the broadcast live to viewers all around the world, but as they were following the Queen's hearse on its way to West London, a ghostly, unidentified female voice interrupted the broadcast.
Oh.
You better put your spooky music on.
Yeah, okay, I'll do some spooky music. So there wasn't a lot of talking throughout the broadcast. The announcers were just sort of coming in and just talking about the little highlights and explaining to people what was going on. And there was a male commentator for ITV who was talking this certain part of the route of the the coffin. And the male commentator talking away, he's leaving a little gap. And then a voice, a female unidentified voice, comes into the middle of the broadcast.
Not a UFV.
A UFV!
An unidentified female voice.
Hello? What's going on here then?
Who said that? Guys, I just heard a UFV.
This is a UFV. This is one of the very first ever UFVs in the world. Here we go. Are you ready for it?
Okay. Yeah.
The death is irreversible, and the fact that she's
trying. As you can see.
What?
Wow. That's it.
We're going to play it once again. But what you'll notice as I play it again, as the voice talks, the male announcer is about to start saying something as well. So he is interrupted. So he clearly stops his sentence because he hears this female voice coming in from nowhere.
Right.
Now, accidents happen in broadcast all the time, right? And it might have been somebody accidentally pressing the wrong button on the intercom, or it might be something. Many, many different ways to explain it, right? So let's just listen one more time. And obviously there's proof that it actually did happen during the broadcast because the announcer is interrupted. Mm. But more importantly, pay attention to what the UFV says.
Yeah, the choice of words.
The death is irreversible, and the fact that she's
trying. As you can see, as you can see here in London, it is a lovely day.
See, and then you hear the announcer come back again after a good 4 or 5 seconds of him going, "What the hell was that voice?
Where did that voice come from?" Yeah.
Yeah. So the voice actually says, "The death is irreversible. The fact that she's trapped."
Yeah.
That beginning bit of that sentence is the fascinating bit, isn't it? The death it's like I quite like that as a sort of general doctor's thing. A doctor saying, "I'm afraid they've died." How badly? Well, it's irreversible. it's one of the irreversible deaths. Shit.
Damn it.
Can we just confirm that this death is irreversible? Yes, this one is, I'm afraid.
We've triple checked. Turns out he's gone through. He talked to the West London guy at the gates. Turns out they've gone through the gates.
Well, that's my point. We were just talking about flatlining and about coming back from death.
Yeah.
And the synchronicity of the fact that your news article is about fact that death is irreversible when we know it isn't.
It isn't.
Or is it?
Or is it? And then the fact that she's trapped.
Trapped? So where's she trapped? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. In the purgatory. She's trapped
in purgatory.
She's currently having somebody teabagging her, aren't they?
Who does bring that back into it?
I don't think we can release this episode now in the UK. That's definitely some legal rules against that.
The royal family will be on our doorstep. Yeah.
She loved a good cup of tea, didn't she? That's what I meant. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because people have come on and kind of like having a whole bunch of different theories on what it is. People have said that it could be a banshee speaking into the broadcast. People are even saying that it is the ghost of late Princess Diana talking into the broadcast. And I love that one because she's like, "All right, Queenie, cover up my death."
What's a banshee? I can't remember what a banshee is.
Banshee's kind of like a siren.
Ah, yeah, okay. But
generally a female. I thought they're always females.
Yeah.
Here we go. I just Googled it. Female spirit in Gaelic folklore whose appearance or wailing warns a family that one of them will soon die.
Right. Mm. But it sounds like it's more like howls.
Yeah, it howls.
That should have just been the broadcast of just a...
Let's have a listen one more time and the Lady Diana in mind and just listen to the voice.
Mm.
Death is irreversible, and the fact that she's trapped.
As you can see.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Lady Diana to me, but I mean, not that I knew her that well, but.
It doesn't sound like a banshee either, so.
That does sound a little hushed, like, and, just to let you know, then her death is irreversible, and the fact that she's trapped. You go. which is interesting. I mean, the most obvious thing is that it's someone on the other line or someone. Yeah.
But the death is irreversible. It's like...
That line is just
so
mad.
Weird.
The death is irreversible.
I mean, it's obviously irreversible. Why would someone say that? It's like when you're walking, you're going to end up going somewhere. You know, and I think it's like stating the obvious.
You're going to go die somewhere.
That's another one of their famous quotes. If you're walking, you're going to end up going somewhere. I think you can find that one online.
What was my book for you? Oh, you heard it here third. You heard it here third. That's what it was. The wisdom of Reece Darby. I'll get that down in my book.
If you're walking, you're going to go somewhere. Quick footnote to that, unless you're on a treadmill, of course.
That's true. But also the fact that she's trapped is a good one. But I wonder whether she's actually either A, still alive in the coffin, hence being trapped, but more likely, you know, she definitely has gone and that she's trapped up at the pearly gate situation.
Yeah, well, that's what I think it is. Like, somebody's just clicked the wrong button. It's like, oh, whoops, we've gone into the living realm broadcast. This was supposed to be just a PA announcement for the pearly gates. Whoopsie, first time on the job.
So when your seed dies and then ascends to the heavenly realm, there's some commentators that are commentating the whole time. They go, there we go, we've got another death here. And, of course, as you know, folks, it is a reversible and looks like this one's going to be trapped at the gates because there's a decision to be made there. Do they want to go in? Do they want to come back? Apparently, they're on a flatline scheme, so there is a possibility they could return. It's an experiment going on, although the person is 96 years old, so the chances of returning are slim here. Over to you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Looking at this option, I would probably go through the gates. I mean, 96 years is a decent time on the earthly realm.
Well, the funny thing is, though, when you think about it, if everybody in the living world is really sad to see her go, all of the souls of all the dead humans who loved the Queen are excited about her turning up to the pearly gate. So whilst their ITV are doing a really solemn broadcast about it, so sad, the pearly gates broadcast is like, here she comes, here she comes. Oh, big round of applause for Queenie. She's with us at last. Yeah. Elvis is there on stage ready to welcome her on. And Reese's granddad is also there with a bouquet of flowers.
Good evening, Your Majesty. I fought in both world wars, as you probably know. Been waiting a while to see you.
Wouldn't that be true, though? Because there'd be so many people who died who'd be going, I can't wait to meet the Queen. I mean, got all of eternity. I'm surely going to have an appearance with her at some point if I've got all of eternity.
Well, only those ones that are in the gaming lounge, you know, refusing to go back down and get teabagged. I mean, why are you still here? I'm waiting for the Queen, mate. How long's it been? 58 years, but I know it's going to happen at some point, and I always wanted to meet her. What about your mates? Oh, no, they went back down and played another game. They've played six games since I've been up here. I love living in the Shaker. I got to be honest with you. It's fun. Different souls coming in every 5 minutes.
Oh. Another big busload. Look, here they come.
Oh. Here we go, another big busload. Hey, just to let you guys know, you are trapped here. We're trapped.
Yeah, it's irreversible, mate. Take your finger off the button, Mike. You're broadcasting to the living ones.
Oh, shit. Has that gone live? Here we go. This will end up on that bloody Cryptid Factor podcast, I guarantee. That was your voice, wasn't it, Judith?
Sounds a bit like Diana.
Yeah, great. That'll be a theory.
The Queen's then trapped at the gates going, I can't believe the Cryptid Factor didn't even do a live broadcast. Dan didn't even go to the pig. Did it for my husband, didn't he? Didn't do it for me. I'm not coming through. This is bullshit.
I can't believe, while you guys have been talking, I've been trying to find whether or not there's a solution to this, because this happened a while ago.
Yeah, there's no answer.
There's nothing. No. There's no
so
answer.
So it's still open-ended. That's what's even more mysterious than the whole thing, because I would have thought, definitely that it was just someone else on the other line or someone in the studio. But if no one has come up and admitted that, then
exactly,
that's bizarre.
It says it's understood that the sound was a guest of the broadcaster whose voice was picked up by a presenter's microphone. But the sentence doesn't make sense.
It makes sense. And it's too close. It's like it's right up in the microphone. It's not like it is sort of like distant.
I find this so interesting, just because of the choice of words.
Yeah.
Oh, it's spooky. That is spooky. Right? That's a proper spooky one for me.
Nice. All right, good work. Good work, Buttons.
So, Dan, that just leaves us with your one.
Yeah, so this is a pretty astounding thing that I'd never heard of before, which is the idea that you have Deadpools at the bottom of the ocean that any animal enters into it will instantly...
Wait, isn't it death pools?
Sorry, yes, not dead pools.
And Ryan Reynolds is down there waiting. Come on down.
I screwed you up by saying the Deadpool thing earlier, and now you're on it.
So this death pool has been discovered at the bottom of the Red Sea. It was found by the University of Miami researchers, and it measures 107,000 square feet. I think the number that I've been seeing here is missing a zero after the comma for three zeros. So it's either 10,700 feet square feet or 107,000.
That's huge.
It's been discovered 1.1 miles beneath the surface. And the idea is that they're thought to have been formed from pockets of minerals, which were deposited up to 23 million years ago.
Wow.
And the reason it's deadly is because the area contains no oxygen. So instead, it's filled with brine, and the salt solution is so intense that it's deadly to the majority of things that enter it. So the researcher, Sam Perkis, he says any animal that strays into the brine is immediately stunned and killed. Mm. He also says it's among the most extreme environments that we know of on Earth. So that's pretty amazing. So anything that goes in there to hunt and try and eat brine instantly is killed.
Wow.
And what happens is, and this is really amazing, predators who will eat the kind of fish that go in there will position themselves on the periphery of the pool, knowing that if you go in there, you're going to die. But then it waits for things to go in, instantly be killed, and then it feeds on the dead ones that come sort of floating back out.
God.
In a weird way, almost like what we were talking about of us standing on the edge of the lake of weirdness, throwing our rods in and pulling stuff out. This is a real-life version of it.
I wonder if we could get buttons to actually get on some sort of device and get in there and probably survive.
I'd do it. I'd bloody do
we'll
it.
We'll attach a rope to you and we'll give you a decent aqualung, you know, something from a high-quality swimwear store in New Zealand, and then we'll just, like, go. And if you start to feel a tingle in your feet, we'll pull you back.
How will I tell you if there's a tingle in my feet? How will I communicate with you?
Well, thumbs up or thumbs down once you're in there, I think.
Thumbs up or thumbs down. Yeah, mate. Yeah. Well, was thumbs up, he's getting a tingle, or is thumbs up, no, he's all good, keep going. No, just keep going.
I think he's fine. Give us a full thumbs down if you're dying, mate, and then we'll put you...
Full thumbs down.
Shit, he's flatline. Oh, he did want to do that, though. That's pretty good.
That's good, it's good. I'm in.
He's at the gates. We'll just leave him there for a while, because I think he'll be having a conversation with that East End Londoner, whether he can come in or not. How long do you reckon his conversation... Well, you know, it's buttons. He does talk for hours. Maybe
he's in the waffle.
Just give him a couple of minutes.
He's in the waffle zone. No, leave him there.
He'll be waffling. He'll be waffling away. Okay, pull him back now.
Well, I have to say the thing that I love is just that we think we're so smart as humans. We've, like, gotten to the moon and we've got, like, things to Mars and stuff. We still don't know 91% of the deep ocean's contents.
That's crazy.
I still think we're pretty clever, though. I still feel like
we are.
No, we're not. Turns out we're not.
I mean, we can put out books like this. The Theory of Everything Else by Dan Schreiber, available in most good bookstores, but not all.
And some of the shit ones. But, like, how come we haven't figured that out yet?
It's just so scary down there. This is the ocean. We just still don't know what's down there. And the fact that there's these death pools down there that, I mean, there's a really high percentage of what the ocean actually covers of the Earth as well. Like, one-third of the planet is different to the other two-thirds. Oh, I got away with that, thank God. I'm like on a lifeline going like this with my thumb up.
Thumb down, guys, pull me out.
Now, let's just see where he goes with this. I think this could be interesting. No, thumb down.
Pull out. So 71% is water covered of the Earth.
There you go. 71.
Right.
I like how they add a 1, just to make it look 70 is too perfect. Let's just add a 1, mate. 71, all right?
But it is 70, George. I don't care. People aren't going to believe that. Add the one.
You know that that was the story with Mount Everest?
Oh, really?
The height of Mount Everest. It's that you're telling the exact story. The guy who calculated it was this incredible mathematician, spent ages working it out, finally got the number, and it was, I'm making up the number now, but it was 28,000 feet. And he thought, shit, it's exactly 28,000 feet. No one's going to believe me. So he added 2 feet to it just so that it made it believable.
Oh, brilliant. Amazing. So that's what we do as humans. Yeah. So how many of these death pools are there? Is there one, you're talking about one major one, or is there, there must be more?
Yeah, it's not the first that they found. They have found others. And I mean, that's just, imagine us having that on land where this is just fish swimming in their natural environment. If we just walked into a spot, you know, if we're down the road in where I live in London, there was just an area of air that would just kill you as you walked into it. It's mad horrendous. that can just be the case.
It's pretty terrifying.
It's freaky.
It'd be really bad if there was one at the bottom of a swimming pool or something like that. Hey, don't, like the deep end, I just got to tell you, it's a little bit, just when your kids go for just that little corner down there, don't go down there. That's actually a death pool. But yeah, just, yeah, I keep meaning to ask the guy to tidy it up when he comes and does the chemicals.
Could you put a rope around it? Could you put some flags or something? No, well, we don't want to get too close to it, you see. So it's just sort of word of mouth at this stage. It's the right-hand rear section there. Oh, fuck, someone just fell in it.
Why is Buttons in there with his thumb down? Is he all right over there? It looks like he's been in there for a while.
He's constantly doing an experiment there with his Cryptid Factor team.
He's got full two thumbs down. What's happening?
How many times has the guy died?
Oh, it's okay. He's got the classic reversible death. He's all right.
He's doing the reversible deaths. He's done 91 of those.
91. I thought it was 90. No, make more believable if it's 91. I still love that quote. So I can't remember who said it, but it's an awesome quote. It's like, looking for creatures in the deep ocean would be akin to trying to find all of the creatures in Africa if you could only do it at nighttime with a flashlight.
Wow.
Imagine that, China. You're going out cataloging all of the stuff in Africa, going, okay, yep, today I'm pretty sure I saw a flash of what could be a lion. Oh, yeah, okay, cool. Hey, just a quick question. Why don't we do this during the day when we don't need flashlights and we can see everything? No, too easy. Do it at nighttime. It'll take us a lot longer.
And we did get sponsorship with EverReady. So I think what we're really pushing for here is to use the flashlight situation. It's in the contract.
Okay. Well, that's a hell of a weekly World Weird News, guys. That was awesome.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very cool. Very cool. Cute and freaky and disastrous. All right. So
freaking disastrous. That's the measure of a really good weekly World Weird News.
Sounds like our three nicknames.
Well, I'm just glad I'm cute. Now.
Okay. Can I just quickly, before we go further.
Yeah.
There's a segment that I've been wanting to do for a long time. Most people won't even know this thing because even when we were a radio show, when we first kicked off, this thing was only played, I think, a couple of times. So,
Okay.
Are you ready?
Why is there so many pictures of me on your desktop?
There is two.
What's going on?
It's like 20... That's a bit freaky.
Oh, whoops. No, quick, shut it down. Shut it down. How do I shut it down? Stop it. Oh, no. I do have a lot of pictures of you.
What's this one say? My favorite boy. Wait, what? Times I'll never forget. Screenshot one.
That is super creepy, isn't it? It's from the book club, and I took screenshots of all the books you held up so I could get them. Thank you. And I look at them every now and then when I feel a little bit sad and lonely.
Yeah, I mean, that was like 5 months ago that we did that.
I haven't cleaned up my desktop because I just don't want to lose that magic time that we had together. Okay, here's the sting. Are you ready?
All right. Yep.
Yeah.
Vocalizations.
Vocalizations!
That is an old sting. That's from back in the BFM days.
Even earlier, the George FM days, and that was David Farrier's little voice there at the end saying vocalizations. We probably have to pay a copyright or something like that.
Can you play his voice? That actually sounded eerily like...
Death is irreversible. It was David Farrier doing it. What a creep.
Listen.
The death is irreversible and
vocalizations.
Yeah. Farrier is Diana.
Oh my God.
It's Diana's ghost.
Either that or he's one of the commentators on the Bean Uprising channel.
Wow. So, this little piece of audio comes from a Bigfoot hunter who claims he caught Sasquatch screaming in the dead of night in the Rocky Mountains. Well, at least his profile on YouTube is Rocky Mountain Sasquatch Organization.
Right.
So I don't know where he actually recorded this. Doesn't actually say. It does. British Columbia in Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's Sasquatch country.
So I'm going to play the clip now that has both his voice and the screams from Bigfoot. Let's see if you can determine which one is the screams.
So this tonight, can I just confirm, this is not a UFV?
This is a USV.
Oh, wow.
Unidentified Sasquatch voice. okay, here we go.
I hope you can hear this, Al.
Wow.
It's cackling. It's irreversible.
Did you hear that at the end? Awesome. He said it's irreversible.
What did he say? He did say that.
Yeah, play it again, Buttons.
Okay, here we go.
Surely not.
It's irreversible.
Did you hear that, Dan?
Did you hear it?
Wait, are you messing with me?
What?
What?
Who's messing with me?
What? Mess with
either Dobbs or what? Buttons.
Missing with
which one of you is missing?
No.
Well, someone whispered irreversible right at the end.
No. Would you do that?
I wasn't looking at the screen.
I wasn't doing that, Reese. Were you doing that?
Okay, try it again. Look at the screen.
I'll look at the screen.
Okay, here we go. We're going to look at the screen.
So no one talk after the clip. Just give it 5 seconds at least.
Okay.
Oh, I feel like I can see Darby already practicing his ventriloquism. I feel like I can see the mouth position. It plays.
Isn't that obvious?
All right, I can't be bothered with this. Let's move on.
Wait, so what happened? It was one of you. It was.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to watch back.
It's too painful, him trying to play the bloody thing back.
Well, then someone admit to it. Well, did someone say irreversible?
The really sad thing is that on Patreon, we're going to put this video up, but you don't pay for the right level to be able to see the video. So you gotta. This is just a thing for me to get you to pay more Patreon money.
Okay. I'm going to pay the extra money. I'm going to go in and listen.
It's worth it, mate. Guys, honestly.
Is that?
Oh, it's so good. Okay, so that was vocalizations.
Okay, that's awesome. I actually love vocalizations, and it's been so long since we've done one.
Yeah.
They're a big part of cryptozoology.
Well, what do we think it was?
That was definitely a Sasquatch. It was. You could hear the primate kind of massively deep, almost howler monkey style power in the guttural voice of that creature coming from down in the valley there. And I love it because it that's the kind of stuff that if I was hearing that, even just hearing it through a computer, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up because I believe it, you know.
Yep.
But I was one of the very early guys who had the vocalization CD, wasn't I, Buttons?
That was the great thing. That was, we only had this one CD on the radio. We would play the vocalizations clip and play one of like about four vocalizations, which to be fair were vocalizations, but were recorded from a very, very, very far away microphone. And it wasn't quite as clear as that one.
But then there was also the weird sort of deep Japanese sounding
That's right, voice.
Remember those? Oh. Yeah, don't do impressions of that one because you might get into trouble, but it was...
I don't know, that's the most Japanese sounding.
It was, though. It was like... It was definitely a sort of a... Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
You'd have to go back on our early tapes, our early shows to find those, but...
Yeah.
I wasn't part of the show back then, just if anyone cancels us off the back of that old episode. If you do listen back, cancel Farrier.
It was definitely Farrier. It was definitely Farrier. Just for the sake of it, the other thing that we used to play all the time, just whilst we're reminiscing, was the 911 call. And so,
That's a special treat, a classic.
If you listen to the end of the podcast, after the theme tune at the end, I'll give us a little reminiscence treat of the 911 call.
What a treat!
What a treat! What a treat of an episode! Goodie.
It's a classic, yeah. Okay, well, let's move faster into the wrapping up zone now with some more cryptid buzz.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Help me!
I've got something here. So this is a recent Sasquatch sighting. I'll just play the little article here.
Seriously, look how big it is.
See it?
I don't think it is a human. I think it's a Sasquatch.
It was a bluebird January morning here in the foothills of Northeast Provo when a group of guys saw a figure on the mountain that looked like something they've never seen before.
You can't just see something that's maybe a once in a century discovery and go do your 9-to-5 job. You got to go look for fur or footprints or some kind of evidence.
And the camera was rolling as Austin took to the mountain with a buddy on a search for the elusive Bigfoot. Their findings were inconclusive.
Was it a bear? Maybe. That's plausible. Was it a person? Also plausible. Was it something else? I think that's also plausible. Who knows?
On the other hand, I spoke to a curator from the Natural History Museum of Utah who says not...
So this is the bit that pisses me off. This guy from the Natural History Museum who just shuts it all down completely.
Well, all right.
Not only is that figure in the video not Sasquatch, but it's safe to say that Sasquatch is not something that would even exist.
What's the likelihood that there are big animals that have gone undetected by scientists and by trained observers?
Dr. Eric Rickhart has spent much of his career exploring places people have never gone before.
Piss off, mate! Oh.
Dr. Eric Naysayer.
Good on you, buddy.
Yeah.
So far, no Bigfoot or anything like it.
There are lots of undiscovered things, particularly in the natural world. But they don't take the form of giant apes running around.
Yes, they do!
Yeah.
Yes, they do!
There you go.
It's a bee. He actually, look at his mustache. He looks like he's a shaved down Yeti who's just missed the top lip.
Oh, yes.
That's why he's saying no, that they don't exist, because he knows that they do, because he's one and he's trying to hide. He's been sent out as to live amongst us to try and take us off the scent.
As a red herring.
Yes. Sasquatch herring.
He's out on a rope giving back a thumb up or thumb down in the reality world. I think I've convinced them that we're not real, guys. Pull me back.
What was the name of the first guy? I want to talk like him. I just love that little, is it this? Could it be that? Or could it be that? That sort of, that's how chat should happen everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that he's out actually looking for Sasquatch and gets that video footage and then doesn't zoom in, or they don't sort of like try and analyze it by, you know, normally a piece of footage like that you'd crop right in and zoom and try and sharpen up the image and all that kind of stuff, and they're just like, oh, what's that over in the distance there? Oh god, which could be anything. It's like, well, why don't you try and figure it out? I was reading about this phenomena that happens quite often up on the mountains. They call them sky ghosts, but it's actually a natural phenomena where it was. I don't think that video footage necessarily was it.
James knows about this. He was telling me about this.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he was wanting me to bring it up this week, and I was like,
"Was he? No way!"
Yeah,
was it?
Funny. It's really funny that you've just started talking about this.
That's crazy. It's called, I think it's called the Brocken effect.
Yes, that's it.
Was he talking about
that? That is freaky.
No.
Yeah, this morning.
But he's listening right now.
Yeah,
get him on.
Is he there,
James? Just turn your microphone on and tell us.
Yeah. Oh, here he is.
Yes, the fucking Brocken Spectre.
Yeah. the Brock Inspector.
That's exactly.
Are you kidding me? You were talking about this morning.
I've been talking about it all week, Leon.
But can I just say, what an intro, what an entrance to being a voice on the Cryptid Factor.
Yes, the fucking Brock Inspector.
The fucking Brock Inspector.
Welcome, James.
Welcome, James Moran.
That's good. I'm going again now.
No, hey, James, that was good. Wait. Do you have any more info on the Brock Inspector? You were telling me about it this week. What is it exactly?
You know, it would be great if it actually was some form of spectre, but I'm going to be really boring now, and it's just an optical illusion caused by sunlight going through mist, and it catches another walker or hiker at a higher peak, hits them, and then it projects their image through the mist up to like 100 meters, so it can look like someone's walking next to you through the mist.
Mm.
That's bizarre.
Wow. Yeah, this is thermal stuff. There's a great thing I saw recently where people on, I think it's Lake Michigan, are looking at the lake and they can see the skyline of Seattle, but it's not there. It can't be seen because it's over the curvature of the Earth.
Right.
But the thermal inversion means it projects a mirage and you can see the city because it's bent the light. So
yeah,
a city is there that they can see that does not exist.
That, I think, is a different weather phenomenon. That's the same one that is used when there was that famous photo of a ship which looks like it's hovering above the ocean.
Yes.
I think that's the same thing.
There's a photo of exactly that in a very good book that's come out recently called The Theory of Everything Else.
Oh, my God. I knew you'd come round to it. Here it is.
Yeah, we got stymied.
It's in the Titanic chapter, Reese.
Okay, let's have a look here. There we go. So there's the ocean liner hovering above the sea.
Is that a footnote? 3 pages long for the one photo, is it? the whole book is actually just one fact, and then the rest of it, just a really long footnote.
Yeah. How exciting.
The reason why I looked up Brocken Spectre or tried to figure that out is because I was over on the Faroe Islands, which are these islands that are jutting out of the water between the top of Scotland and the bottom of Iceland.
Right.
There's a population, I think, of about 80,000 people or so. It's a tiny little fishing village type place. And I was there, believe it or not, with a Christian rock band being their sound engineer, taking them on tour of the Faroe Islands, of all things. It was amazing. Some beautiful people.
Amazing.
There's beautiful, beautiful islands. No trees anywhere. There's actually a wee little grove of trees that is cultivated there so that school kids can go on school trips to go and see what trees look like. Because
really?
For the entire rest of the islands, it's just all grass-covered rock. It's crazy. Anyway, I was sitting in a car outside one of the venues where the band were going to play, and I swear I saw this creature or something running and bouncing along the top of the ridgeline. And it was sort of like late afternoon, early evening. It was sort of dark and it was sort of shadowy. And there's this shadowy figure that looked like it was sort of running and jumping on top of this ridgeline. So just recently, I've just come back to me and I've been trying to kind of explain it away and trying to figure out what it was. And also shout out to the band that I was on tour with. The Christian rock band's name was Glory Box.
They were called what?
Glory Box.
Glory Box?
Yeah.
It's a bit on the nose, isn't it?
They were great. They're awesome band.
Wow. So you're thinking that might have been the Brock Inspector.
Well, I was trying to look up ways to explain it because I was suddenly like, hang on, that's right. I saw that thing and I never really, it just sort of came back to me as a memory. And that's how I found out about the Brock Inspector, because it was like looking up creatures that run across the top of mountains, and it was like, oh, it could be this phenomenon.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Glory Box. It's a hell of a name.
And if you listen to the second tag of today's episode, there'll be a song from Glory Box. So that's a little extra little treat for you
little
listeners
right
out there.
Right after the 911 call. Maybe we do a remix of the 911 Sasquatch call and Glory Box.
So my cryptid news this week, I was going to do a Sasquatch thing as well, a little bit of Sasquatch sighting, but actually I'll just do this instead, even though it's not 100% news. Just as we were starting, I got a message on Facebook from someone I haven't heard in a long time. Now, I swear to God, guys, this will be the last mention of my book. However, I swear to God, this is it.
I don't buy it for a second.
But this book here, The Theory of Everything, Elf, by Dan Schreiber.
So in the book, in the intro, I talk about how my wife, Fenella, is a bit of a magnet for weirdness, and how when a plumber came over to the house, she was chatting to him for about 5 minutes while I was in the kitchen. She was showing him the problem. Then she came into the kitchen and she said, "What an interesting guy. He's from Kazakhstan." And I was like, "Oh yeah, that cool." And she went, "Yeah, really weird. When he was a kid, he was sitting in a field and an eagle swooped down, picked him up by the shoulders and flew away with him."
What?
And I was like, "What? How did you get that in 5 minutes of chatting?" Anyway, it turned out he gave me the rest of the story. His mum beat the eagle down with a stick. And I said in the book, I actually believed him instantly because a lot of people say that eagles don't do that. But I happen to have met an eagle who steals children expert a few years back at a 14 Times conference.
Of course you did.
And watched him hand over a file.
Of course you did.
He just messaged me as we were starting our show. I haven't heard from him in ages. Yeah. And he said, because he's got the book, and he said, "I thought this might be of interest to you." So he's just sent me a link to what's called thunderbirdphoto.com. And it's all about, and he doesn't know that we went looking for the Thunderbird. No. I don't mention that anywhere. And it's the sight of someone who's trying to track down. I've just had a quick look. It says the missing Thunderbird photo. And then he gives a little quote. "In the year 1886, the Tombstone, Arizona epitaph, which helped make Wyatt Earp famous, published a photograph of a huge bird nailed to a wall. The newspaper said it had been shot by two prospectors and hauled into the town by wagon. Lined up in front of the bird were six grown men with their arms outstretched, fingertip to fingertip. The creature measured about 36 feet from wingtip to wingtip."
Wow.
And that's what he said. So he writes underneath, and this is not my friend. He's just passing on someone's website. He says, "If you think you've seen this picture described above, you're not alone. Going back more than 50 years, witnesses believe they've stumbled across this haunting image in newspapers, magazines, and books, and even TV or online, although there are many fakes. Invariably, when they trace their steps back to locate the source of the photo, it's not there, like it's been wiped from the pages of history." The illustration at the top of this page is just one compelling example of the image seared in people's memories, and there are many variations. Did this photo really exist? If so, what exactly does it depict? And what does it mean for our understanding of the natural world? Have you seen the missing Thunderbird photo? Contact me at editor@thunderbirdphoto.com.
Wow.
And so what follows is a huge blog of all the encounters of Thunderbird. But his latest blog, published just yesterday, November 18, 2022, is Man-Eating Birds of New England. And it's all about eagles, in part, this article, that swoop down and steal people. Ooh. Real accounts that have occurred, and they include in bullet point form, in September 1899, an eagle attempted to carry off a four-year-old Anna Harrits in the village of Gurleyville.
Gurleyville! That was a different type of bird!
Is that where you were brought up, Dan?
This honestly, this ginormous bird came down. She carried me away, mate. Oh God, had to pay extra for that. But you know, Gurleyville, mate, highly recommend it.
It's a village, Gurleyville. Do you know where it is?
Where?
No.
Do you know where it's based? It's in Mansfield. Mansfield.
Are you sure this is a legit website? You've only just come across this site. I think we should fact check this. This seems like one of those classic. I know, if I create a fake website about Thunderbird photos, he may just talk about it on the Cryptid Factor. We'll wait until he starts broadcasting, then we'll send him the link so he can't fact check it.
Gurleyville is spelled G-U.
Pull down out.
Cancel him.
He's giving a thumb down. I'm pulling him out. Oh man, that was close. You were just about eaten alive.
People started taking your books off the bookshelf. Is he cancelled? Is he cancelled? Yep. No, take them down. He's cancelled. He talked about Gurleyville.
No, he's fine again. He flatlined for a little bit, but he came out.
Oh, he's fine. Put them up. He's back.
It's spelled Gurleyville.
Gurleyville.
That's the one. I've heard of that place actually.
Yeah.
Connecticut. Mansfield, yeah. Connecticut. Yeah.
I'm not anyway. Far from Connecticut right now. It would only be a couple of hours to drive up there. I could go for a quick hunt.
Oh, get to Gurleyville. Yes.
Go and do it. Get a photo of you outside the sign.
Sorry, hun. What am I up to? I'm just actually going to Gurleyville tonight. No, I'm going to go look for a bird.
It's all above board.
Well, anyway, that's kind of cool to see that someone's out there hunting. And I thought that's when great. We were out in St. Louis, where we met the late great Chief Huffer,
who
actually managed to capture on film a giant bird of some sort, I thought we saw the photo in his archive.
Same.
Yeah. I've definitely seen the photo.
Seen the photo as well. But I wonder if that was because I think there was a few fakes. There's one legit one, but then there were people who recreated it because they couldn't find the original.
Okay.
Right.
Anyway, just, you know, quite cool. Eagle who steals children expert gets in contact as we start recording.
That's very cool.
We're back.
Oh, man, we're back.
There's been a lot of weird synchronicity in this episode, which is always cool.
Yes.
It means that we're back on track and we're doing the thing that we're supposed to be doing, and that's why the universe has gone, all right, well, let's see if we can make them realize that they're on the right path again, which we are.
We dance, right.
And so, listeners, thank you so much for being on the right path with us. We are sorry it's taken us so long to get back, but we have been very busy, as you know. So this was a little special treat for all of us, and I hope we can do the same thing again very soon.
Just stop your
spiel
there.
So on behalf of everyone here...
What about my cryptid news?
What? You did yours.
What did I do?
Vocalizations.
Oh, no, that was a different segment.
That was a different section.
Okay. Well, I'll keep my news.
Now, this is actually good, Buttons. You do yours because that'll give me time to finish writing this piece here about the two legends.
Great.
But that means you won't be able to listen to my awesome news because you'll be concentrating on something else.
Oh, trust me, darling. I'll be listening like I always do.
With half an ear open. Okay, super, super quickly. Bigfoot, ghost, or killer clown? ? Person pictures some creature lurking in terrifying woodland photo.
Was that Bigfoot, comma, ghost or Bigfoot ghost?
It could be either, couldn't it? But they've written it Bigfoot, comma, ghost or killer clown. So there's a photo that was captured, a terrifying picture of a shadowy figure snapped in some woodland. Has the internet in a frenzy. Many suggesting it could be a ghost, a clown or even Bigfoot. Two images, one of them zoomed in, were posted to Twitter, and caption says, "Took this on my walk. What the F star 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 is that? I'm scared." And I'm just going to show you the picture now, which shows what appears to be a figure crouched behind some shrubs with its head and left shoulder visible.
Oh wow.
It's quite cute, whatever it is. It's definitely a shadowy figure with the sun coming behind it.
Interesting.
It does kind of look clownish.
Yeah.
It does look a bit like a Muppet or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it looks like to me? You know, in Fraggle Rock, where it's got those guys that are looking after the trash heap up the top.
Yes.
He's got the face of one of those guys.
It's
the son who always sees the Fraggles, and the mum and dad go, "No, there's nothing down there." He looks like that dude.
I think to me he looks like this will be a very obscure reference, but Jeremy from the Yellow Submarine animation. Jeremy,
what the hell are you talking about?
Hang on, I'll show you an image of Jeremy.
For me, it's definitely Jeremy from chapter 4 of my latest book, Coffee Tables Are Useful.
Hang on a second.
Jeremy's not practicing to be a clown, is he?
Well, he kind of is. He's half clown, half the furry thing that we've just seen. Look, that's Jeremy there.
Oh yes, it does look a bit like Jeremy.
Very much like Jeremy.
Oh, look at him there. Yes.
Dan's showing us what is effectively like a Sasquatch cartoon, but with a clown mask on.
Yeah, it's literally the mix of what the two descriptions are.
Can you put that picture up again, Buttons, and let's put Jeremy's photo next to it.
Okay, here we go. Oh, it's so similar. Oh, there's the trash heap as well.
So I've put up my guy there, Dan.
The trash heap has spoken. That's what it is.
That's actually the dad, the son guy. So is that funny. One?
Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember these guys?
That's really cool.
Okay. That's clearly what it is.
That's awesome. I think we've just about done everything that we usually do. The only other thing to do, I guess, is wrap up with me finishing the thing at the start, which I obviously wrote during your very interesting piece there. Gave me another couple of minutes of free time.
It's the longest padding. You say I'm good at padding. You've padded a whole show just to get the rest of your intro out.
Okay, hang on.
It better be good.
Do a couple bit more padding. I've got a little bit at the end here to do.
All
right. Well, can I just say I looked up actual Faroe Island cryptids.
Yeah.
And it came up. There's one called the Nykur. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it properly. It's N-Y-K-U-R. It's grey or black, head like an ox's, seal-like flippers or hooves that have been reversed. Also appears in human form. Appears as a centaur-like combination of a horse with one red eye, a rider with a massive head and transparent skin. It either moos or lows like a cow or neighs like a horse. Likes to entice human females underwater. So if ever you're in the Faroe Islands, just watch out for that one, the Nykur. Looks terrifying.
Okay. So I was going to say as a bit of padding just before we get to Reese, that for any listeners who are thinking, I'd like to take my relationship with this podcast further, I'm going to join the Patreon. We did a pretty fun thing the other day, which was for Patreon members only, which was the first ever Cryptid Factor book club.
Yay!
Where we managed to go through a book, which was Andy Weir's Project Hail Mary, and then Buttons, myself, and Helena, who is the moderator, we brought 70 cryptid nights into a big Zoom conversation, and we spent 2 hours discussing the book, and we're going to do another book really soon. So if you get into the Discord via the Patreon very soon, you're going to be part of the next book club.
Yay!
And it was awesome. It was great. And the video is going to go up of the book club session.
Yeah.
It was wicked.
Yeah. I now want to re-listen to the book because I got an education on what the book was about.
Yeah, me too.
I got it totally wrong. I thought it was some religious thing, and it turns out it's about space or something. So
that doesn't surprise me. All right, it's time to wrap up.
Oh, here's the intro. Oh, just in time to get the intro as we finish.
Well, paint me turquoise and dip me in the ocean till I disappear from view. Two legends are coming from down below. Atlantis prophets from long ago. They tied a rope around his body. Give us a thumbs up when you've done your potty.
Help me! Oh, I'm trapped! Oh, I'm trapped!
It's reversible! Yeah! He's back! Woohoo! Oh, thanks, guys. Oh, shit. Oh. What's going on down there, Reese? I was saved by these two guys. What? There's no one down there.
Wow. I came back from the Deadpool!
Oh, I don't know. It was fun. Thanks so much for everything, guys. And don't forget, the book is out. But when is it out in America, Dan?
Oh, June next year. But it's going to be an American edition. So it's going to have its own new cover. I'm going to come over to America.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, do some promotion.
I'm going to stay here until it comes out.
No, you're not. You need to get back. We've got the Thanksgiving Day party next Saturday.
Oh, yay!
Okay. Hopefully we'll see you all again next week or maybe in a few weeks once I finish this show.
Awesome.
Live from the Thanksgiving party next Saturday.
You never know.
You never know.
With the emphasis on the no. Bye!
Bye! Bye! Bye!
Thank you. got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the trees. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and Nate was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good sized man or something looks like a man. I don't know what it was, just that it ran across the yard.
Okay. You've had problems in the neighborhood before?
Yeah, my dog was killed here just recently. I don't know what it was. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. But whatever it was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, Dia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh. Okay, hang on.
He's right...
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Oh, and the guy is on foot.
I don't know what... It's a big, real big person. That's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
I'd say it was a person, somebody really big. But he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all in black. And he's big. He is big.
Irreversible.